Lord, I just come before you and ask that you would help me remember that this is not about me. I pray that you just take me completely out of this time with these folks and use me as a vessel in any way you can, and just help me not to go into my unhealthy pattern of being self-conscious and fearful, but just speak your words through me, through the story that you have given me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm just going to read because I just get way too nervous if I just try to look out there and talk. My name's Marcia. I was born into a nice family and had what most people would consider a really happy childhood. In spite of that, as an adolescent, I realized that I was seeking to fill a void in my life. I was surrounded by loving family and friends, but even then I realized that there was someone else that I was lonely for. I wondered who God was, who I was, and if there was any purpose for my life. Just at that same time, my church offered a class for the purpose of explaining what they believed about God, Jesus, and salvation. It was in that class that I first remember having understood that God is a real person, that He is holy, and that I was separated from Him because of my lack of ability to attain His standard of perfection in my own power. It is taking years for me to come to a fuller understanding of what sin is and of what God's holiness is. But in that class as a 12-year-old, I came to sincere belief that God is real and wonderful and that I wanted to be near Him. The best thing I learned was that God provided a way to bridge the bottomless gap separating me from Him. And that bridge is a perfect Savior named Jesus, who willingly gave His life to atone for my stubborn, sinful ways of trying to figure out life on my own. It was like a light bulb went on for me, and I believed in Jesus fully, and I was baptized soon after, and I anticipated a perfectly happy life walking in blissful intimacy with my Savior. I wish I could say that that was the rest of my story, but it was not. One thing I later learned was that salvation itself takes place the moment one believes in Christ as a Savior, but that growing in relationship with Him is a process that takes place over time. It wasn't until about the last 10 years or so that I began to recognize some unhealthy patterns that I had developed in spite of what I was gradually learning about walking with Jesus. Along the way, I had gotten the wrong idea that I could somehow control my life and relationships in my life by doing all of the right things. I got up really early every morning, and I studied the Bible, and I prayed for hours, and I served in my church and in the community. And I really believed that God's assignment for me was to be the very best wife and mother I could possibly be, so I poured myself into those roles. Naturally, I believed that marriage was for a lifetime, and I wholeheartedly believed that it was my job to make my husband happy. As he began to slip into a deep depression, I blamed myself, and I committed to try ever harder to be the loving and supportive wife who would bring him out of his dark valley. He wanted out too, and he would agree to try to do his part. It became for us a cycle of effort, failure, despair, recommitment, and more effort, and all the while we wore the masks of the happy Christian couple with a perfect holy life. This cycle went on and on until finally, after our children were grown and gone, my husband confessed to me that much of his depression was due to the fact that he had been living a double life for many years. On one hand, he was who he wanted to be, the faithful husband, active in the community, and a leader in our church. He told me that in his other life, he was unfaithful, deceitful, and addicted to all kinds of secret compulsions, including a struggle with homosexuality. Even when I found out about this, I was sure in my prideful state that God was going to use me to save both my husband and our marriage. For 6 more years, we hid our secret. We lived in isolation, and we tried to make our marriage work. But my husband finally decided that he could no longer wear a mask, and he didn't believe that he could do his part to work towards the kind of marriage that God calls us to. So we divorced. By the grace of God, we have been reconciled to a very caring and working friendship based on the sweeter parts of our rich history, shared parenting, and mutual respect for one another. And not only did God work in our situation to bring about reconciliation between the two of us, but our kids' faith was put on the line as well, as they were tested as to how they would respond to their father's confession of his deceitful life. Miraculously, they forgave him and have continued to love and care for him, desiring to show him God's unconditional grace. Moreover, my precious aging parents, who are now in their 90s and are from a generation marked by extreme discrimination towards homosexuality, have also continued to reach out and embrace my former husband with understanding, mercy, and grace. But back to my story. After we divorced, I found myself completely alone for the very first time in my life. My kids were now grown, my husband gone. I had no job skills and low self-esteem. I once again wondered who I was and if there was a purpose for my life. But the difference this time around was that I knew who God was, and I knew that He loved me and that my Savior Jesus would guide me through this new storm. I was flat on my face before Him, crying out for His help. I can't begin to describe the intensity and magnitude of my pain and loneliness at that time. I cried out loud to God in every way I could think of. Sometimes I felt like my prayers were bouncing back off the ceiling, so I even tried crying out to Him outdoors in the wee early hours of the still dark mornings as I walked and walked looking for comfort and answers. While I was so self-absorbed in my pain, I think Satan took every advantage of the opportunity to fill my mind with lies, telling me that I didn't matter to God, to my husband, or to anyone else. He told me that I had failed, that my kids didn't need me anymore, that I was an embarrassment to God, my family, my church, and that my life was insignificant. In 1 Peter 5:8, God's word tells us that Satan is our adversary, that he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And in John 8:44, he is referred to as a liar and the father of lies. I believe he was trying to devour me with his lies. But as I continued to pray and seek God, I finally realized that He was answering me, but just in ways that I hadn't been looking for. He whispered His love to me through His Word and through the beauty of His creation and those long early morning walks. He lovingly put people in my life through longtime Christian friends, divorce care, and a community group of like-minded women here at Watermark who showed me that I was loved and valued by them and by my Creator. These people held a mirror to my face and helped me see ways that I had tried to control things that were not mine to control. I began to realize that throughout my life, I had unintentionally made idols of people and relationships, and I had sought to fill my need for significance through them. I had made an idol of the institution of marriage, thinking that if I gave myself fully to it and to my husband, I would be fulfilled and would earn honor and glory for God. God has since shown me that anything that I think can fill the void that only He can fill becomes an idol in my life. He wants me to be fully His, and He doesn't need me to do things to bring Him glory. He is glory, and He only wants me to be obedient to His word because He knows that is what is best for me, not for Him. Jesus is all I need, and He graciously gives me women to walk with in community who come along beside me and continually point me back to Him. As I began to heal, He also gently led me to serve others by offering to them the same kind of comfort I received when I was so broken and feeling alone. And this was that verse that Wes shared with us before we started in 2 Corinthians 1:3, that He taught us to love in this way by comforting others with the comfort by which we were comforted. It has ministered to me to do so probably more than to any of the people I've been serving. My journey is an ongoing process, but the difference that's taking place in me over time causes me to know that the security and sense of significance that I've always longed for can be found only through my relationship with Jesus, my Savior. He is the hero of my story. The best part of my story is that God has given me assurance that this life, with all of its highs and lows, is not all there is. I know that all of us who believe His story will have eternal life with Him in a place where there will be no more loneliness, divorce, pain, or loss of any kind. Instead, there will be peace, love, and constant celebration of eternal life with all believers and with the God who created us for the purpose of loving and enjoying us forever. Thanks for letting me share my story.